but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Aaron Rodgers has a new helmet. He doesn't like it. Says it looks like a spaceship on his head. The helmet he wore last year is banned because it doesn't meet the new safety standards. So he's been practicing wearing this new helmet. It's a Shut Air XP Pro VDT 2. He's not a fan. He's trying to change it. He says it looks like a damn spaceship out there. Face mask doesn't fit the helmet. He's trying to find the right helmet. He should just wear leather. Says he can't stand it. He said he's worn a Shut helmet for 20 years. And now it doesn't pass the safety standard. Well, maybe that should be a sign, Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you're lucky. Doesn't like the way it looks. You sound like my kids. It's not there for looks. I wrote a piece today at johncanzano.com about the Mountain West Conference and the five departing schools of the Mountain West Conference. Mountain West and Pac-12 were locked up in mediation, and the Mountain West was also locked up in mediation against the five departing schools. They were in an exit fee mediation. I am told that that mediation ended with the sides, quote, on different planets. Departing schools expected to pay somewhere between $8 million and $12 million per school. Mountain West best offer never dipped below $18 million. They're not close. Bad feelings on both sides. You also have the Pac-12 mediation. Here to talk about it and make it interesting and exciting is Matt Wand, who is a lawyer. He didn't just stay at a Holiday Inn Express. And he is with the firm Lynch, Murphy, and McLean. He is joining us now. Matthew Wand, thank you for making time.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Let's make this
interesting.
Well,
I'll try and keep my try and keep my dogs out of the room this time so they're not barking in the background.
It's all right. We did one time. We did an interview and the guy had a donkey, and in the background the donkey kept doing what donkeys do, and I was just like, we end up talking about it. So we'll address it when it gets into the room. But help us out with this. Help us out, you know, with potential litigation. You always are looking at a mediation situation, and then when the sides don't come to a conclusion and they say we were planets apart, like when you walk away from that as an attorney and you see they're planets apart from each other, nowhere, not even in the same room, what do you make of that?
It's a disaster is what it is. It's not good at all. You hope to go into a mediation and learn something about the other side and maybe come up with some creative solutions. You know, you're using a mediator who's an expert, who's supposed to twist arms and cajole people into doing things that maybe they don't want to do or they don't feel good about. If you leave and you're further entrenched, it's awful. It's not a good sign at all for anybody. If I was one of the departing schools from the Mountain West right now, I kind of feel like I was in the middle of two elephants fighting with each other. And that's really what's going on here based on your reporting and the information that you've received.
I am looking at this and they're saying, you know, look, you know, both sides are telling me they're happy to go to court. What are the risks for the Mountain West and those departing members, as it pertains to going to court?
Well, in a mediation, you hold your own fate in your own hands. You have the opportunity to make the compromises that you're willing to make. Everybody has the opportunity to leave away. What we say is they leave equally dissatisfied. And if everybody's a little bit angry, that's probably a good settlement. The problem with litigation is it's not in your control. You don't get to decide anymore. Someone else decides. And there's a winner and a loser. And sometimes a judge will find some way to kind of use the wisdom of Solomon and split the baby. But more often than not, there's a clear winner and a clear loser, and the loser's pretty upset. So I think the Mountain West is really, really playing with fire in some of the actions that they've taken based on your reporting. They put themselves in almost like a dead-ender position. It's fight or die at this point. Unless they can get people back to the table.
I sense that it's very emotional for the Mountain West. Gloria Navarez, the commissioner, is passionate. She feels like she's under fire, clearly. She has now been named in this updated version of the lawsuit that three of the schools have filed. What is the tactic there in naming her in that lawsuit?
Number one, there's got to be some element of intimidation, of course. Nobody likes to have their name associated with a lawsuit, and it's permanent. She will always and forevermore have been the defendant in a lawsuit. But she will argue she was acting within the course and scope of her duties, and so her employer is obligated to indemnify and defend her. So as it relates to, you know, her worrying about losing her house, her car, or her family pets, that's not likely something that she's worried about. But, you know, certainly it's not a good thing. It's not something anybody's ever happy about.
When you are a lawyer and you do have a client who may be more emotional about it, maybe they own the business or they started the business and they feel attached to it and it's under fire, how can that work negatively or positively, Matthew?
It just clouds their judgment. You know, in a business dispute of any kind, you've got to keep the survivability and the larger term goals in mind. They have to be front and center. And if you're always pursuing vendettas or making decisions out of fear or anger, then it's a distraction, really. Those emotions are distractions. Pride and ego are horrible distractions when you're dealing with something like this. And now, of course, both parties here, the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, have excellent law firms. They have incredibly intelligent lawyers advising them about all of these issues. They're in federal court, which is where we have our best, most qualified judges that serve a lifetime appointment. So, you know, nobody involved in this dispute is getting terrible legal advice, and nobody involved in this dispute has a terrible legal position, but you can pursue those valid legal points for several years, and then along the way, watch your business or your conference in this instance completely get destroyed. And if I were involved in this lawsuit on either side, or representing one of the schools that wants to leave, or, you know, in my dream, of course, representing Oregon State University, I'd be telling my clients, look, the bigger picture is what happens 5 years down the road. And if you lay waste to your credibility and to your conference and to your school and to the sports and the athletes along the way fighting over this battle, then ultimately you will lose. You might win the legal case and still lose.
Matthew Wand is with us, experienced litigator, lawyer. Matthew, the Pac-12 obviously has its own mediation and now potential hearing coming up on September 9th, motion to dismiss filed by the Mountain West. Feels like a pivot point that may spark additional settlement discussions. If the judge rules against the Mountain West motion to dismiss the poaching penalty lawsuit, how quickly do settlement discussions talk? What form do they take? Are they formal, or is it just more of the lawyers talking outside the courtroom or on a call? How does that go down?
I'd figure it probably starts off with nobody talking to anyone for at least a little while. You know, when you look down at the, I mean, look at what happened towards the end of this mediation. The counteroffer, the first offer was $9 million per school. The counter was $18 million. And then the second was $10 million. And the Mountain West came back again with $18 million. They didn't move at all. That entrenchment is the kind of thing that people tend to remember, especially lawyers. Because when you're moving, even if it's a small movement, if the other side's acting in good faith, they are expected to move as well. And the fact that the Mountain West didn't do that is the kind of thing that burns lawyers, at least for a little while. So I expect that they'll start with discovery. And discovery in this case is going to be a lot of fun. Because they'll get their text messages, they'll get their Slack channels, instant messages, emails. This is like the devil's playground. People use these communication devices and they say things that they would never say out loud. And it's a permanent record. And so they're going to try to gather all of these written records about what people were talking about and what the Mountain West president was saying when she withheld millions of dollars from Boise State, who had just made it to the playoffs. Boy, I'd be interested to see what that discussion was all about. And what do you want to bet it's in writing?
Yeah, I think that, but there is some writing out there. Matthew Wand is with us. Okay, I'm into the football. I'm into the, you know, the moving on, everybody moving on. You know, it's not normal for us in the sports world to have this kind of litigation going on in the background. How quickly do people get back to business after things get settled? And you've seen businesses and entities that were at each other's throats. How quickly do they shake hands and kind of move forward after? Or does it linger?
This is a unique lawsuit in any environment because you have so many different parties and so many different moving parts. Okay, this isn't like a normal piece of litigation, even in the world that I run in. In addition to which, you have the added problem of, no offense intended, the press, which means every person is under heightened scrutiny for everything that they're doing. Your column has probably already been read, not only by the lawyers, but by the principals as well. And there are people, I'm certain, within the Mountain West and the Pac-12 that are not happy about the way they've been portrayed, and that is affecting their mindset. And it's causing them to be more entrenched, and it's bruising their ego, I'm certain. So, you know, at the end of this, win or lose, do I expect the Pac-12 and the Mountain West to sign a whole bunch of contracts and have a bunch of non-conference games? I frankly don't, unless they really have to and it makes a lot of sense. I would expect until the individuals involved in this move on to other greener pastures, there's going to be some lingering resentment.
And I think it could hurt the Mountain West as well, because I think if you're the Mountain West, you want to maybe play a Boise State or a San Diego State or an Oregon State. And I just don't know if you're going to get those games based on what's happening. Matthew, I really appreciate your time. I got one John Gruden question for you. I mean, this John Gruden lawsuit with the NFL, it looks like he got a win in Nevada where this will be, you know, it'll be a real trial. It will not be an arbitration. The NFL is saying they will ask the Nevada Supreme Court to take a second look, and if they don't get what they want, they'll go to the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. You know, this is more your world than anything, but what are attorneys talking about as it pertains to this Gruden case?
You know, it's by and large, people forget this, but Gruden was an employee. Right, he's not the owner of the team that he was working for, and he does have certain privacy rights. And for his emails to not only get leaked to the general public, but then presumably be given to the NFL, that's pretty awful. That's pretty terrible. I mean, I just said that the emails and text messages and instant messages are like the devil's playground. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about, John. And his emails got splashed all over the front page. And I don't know if the NFL did the right thing or the wrong thing. Frankly, I don't have that much of an opinion on it. I'm a Seahawks fan. But it is the type of case that people are paying attention to, because there are larger issues that are unique to very public industries and to employer-employee rights. So I don't know how this gets to the U.S. Supreme Court, frankly. I don't see any constitutional issues, or at least I haven't read about any, but I certainly expect it to get appealed to the Nevada Supreme Court, and that's one to watch for sure. That'll be fun and interesting.
Matthew Wan, I really appreciate your expertise. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Take care, man. There he goes. Off he goes. Look, yeah, I think, you know, I hesitate to draw sweeping conclusions because there's a judge involved, and we will ultimately see what happens as it pertains to the Pac-12 and Mountain West. But certainly, you know, the Mountain West initially presented itself as a knight in shining armor, saying to Oregon State, Washington State, hey, we'll help you get games for the 2024 season. Turns out, we later find out, they charged them $14 million for 12 games, and we all know that those payday games, those buy games that schools in the Mountain West are getting, range from $500,000 to $700,000. They're not getting much more than that. In a lot of cases, they're getting less than that. So they charged the Pac-12 a premium above and beyond market rate. Then in 2025, when Oregon State and Washington State tried to get a scheduling agreement, let's extend this thing, the Mountain West asked for $30 million for 12 games. $30 million. The Pac-12 walked away and took five top Mountain West teams with it. I think there's a little irony in Oregon State and Washington State ending up going on the aggressive side and poaching teams, but also they're poaching out of necessity. They're dead as a conference if they don't get to eight members, nine members now, and eight football-playing members. They are not poaching because they're trying to add a little media value like the Big Ten was or the Big 12 was. They're poaching because if they don't add six teams, they're done as a conference, and they had a deadline. You know, I do think there's a difference, but I don't think it makes it any less painful for folks in the Mountain West Conference, because there are fans of UNLV and Wyoming and San Jose State, of course, that are looking around going, hey, come on, you treated us like garbage. Don't you remember what it felt like to be treated this way? And ultimately, this is kind of how things go. What do I expect? People are asking me on social media. I expect that this will either go to court or they will settle. But I expect that, you know, the Mountain West probably plays on to play another day and gets just enough money to survive. But I just don't see, for the foreseeable future, I don't see a media deal in their future. Like, I think all the best parts of the Mountain West are gone to the Pac-12 now, so I don't really understand what a media partner is buying there that has value. Maybe UNLV is about it. And then beyond that, I just don't know how sustainable this is, because as you get down the food chain, it gets more and more dire. I think it's a dire situation for the Pac-12. Like, they're just hanging on by their fingernails, trying to stay relevant, fashioning themselves as the fifth best conference in America. I mean, it's kind of a sad thing, if you think about it, that a former power conference that now, in its reconstituted form, looks suspiciously like the top of the Mountain West, is barely hanging on, but has the brand, and hoping and praying that Boise State and San Diego State and Oregon State can maybe get themselves into a playoff situation often enough to justify, you know, a little bit bigger payout in the next CFP negotiation and a better media contract. And, hey, maybe the top four or five teams in the New World Pac-12 will get strong consideration for what happens next in college football. Maybe two or three of them will get in to whatever happens next in major college football. But it is a dire situation if you're the Pac-12. But if you go one tier down, it's an impossible situation. There's no way to punch your way out of that if you're the Mountain West Conference, if you are Wyoming, if you are New Mexico, if you are San Jose State with half a stadium, if you're Air Force and you don't get to the American alongside Army and Navy, if you're UNLV and you don't get to the Pac-12, you're in a dire situation. I don't know what you're playing for, and I don't know where you see your place, because the Pac-12 is playing for a puncher's chance to belong. You go one ring beyond that, and it looks impossible to me. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about Jimmy Rogers, the Washington State coach. He's doing something very different in his fall practices. I don't know if it's going to work. If it doesn't work, I think it's a big risk. If it does work, everyone's going to say, Jimmy Rogers, wow, what a star. What a tough guy. He knew what was coming. I'll tell you what it is next. I want you to leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.